This is Jay Sekulow. Congressman Castro intentionally endangers President Trump's supporters.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, this is disturbing news. It's been out, really came out on Monday, when Joaquin Castro sent out the following. Sad to see so many San Antonians as 2019 maximum donors to Donald Trump. And then put in one of the tweets, the owner of Bill Miller Barbecue, the owner of Historic Pearl, Realtor Phyllis Browning, and then gave an entire list of everybody that was that he put on there, including some of his own donors, by the way, people that donated both to the Trump campaign and to his congressional campaign. And this is effectively creating a targeted hit list for his donors, especially in this country. All the rules are being turned upside down. You know, in this country, when we started, it was originally thought that by the founders, remember, the Federalist Papers were done anonymously or pseudonyms. Anonymous pamphleteering was how the Revolutionary War started. And there was a reason for that, because of things like this, where people would take out the support of a particular view or candidate and go to an extreme, which Congressman Castro did. Now, he's being chastised from the right and from the left on this. In fact, Maggie Haberman from the New York Times said she will not retweet what he put out there. Willie Geist was on, which show was it on? Was it NBC? Yeah, on NBC Today, said very clearly, and we're going to play this for you in a little bit, that this was outrageous what he did.
Yeah, that you're going to have people that are harassed or targeted. And let's put this into context. This tweet went out on Monday, 10 o'clock at night, just 24 hours after these two shootings in the United States, which captured everyone's attention. A shock, the mourning going on, and this call by Democrats to try and blame the president for the shootings. And then you have a Democrat congressman whose brother is running for president, who, by the way, is a congressman from Texas. Yep. So he represents the San Antonio area, tweet out a list of 44 of his own constituents, their names and their employers, and says these contributors are fueling a campaign of hate that labels Hispanic immigrants as invaders. And then the image was, who's funding Trump? In 2019, these 44 San Antonio donors contributed the most allowable by federal law. They were his own constituents being targeted by a congressman and his campaign account within 24 hours of a mass shooting in the state that where he is a congressman. And so, again, this kind of inappropriate use of data, which is public right now. But again, you'd have to go through information to gather this kind of
data. Until you highlight it, people aren't going to point it out. Here's what he does. He highlights it in the middle of this national tragedy that we're dealing with these two mass shootings. And he does this in a way to try to deflect. This is what he argues, that he's, well, this doesn't put anybody in harm's way. What planet are you living on? Okay. So here's the thing that you got to understand. There was a reason the founders believed in free speech. Look, we're not saying that his statements aren't free speech, although I put it akin to yelling fire in a movie theater, which is not protected speech. But let's assume for the sake of this that it's protected speech. There's a reason we used to have anonymous pamphleteering. There's a reason we had pseudonyms in the founders when they wrote the Federalist Papers for this kind of nonsense. And this homemakers on here, retirees, I mean, it really is completely outrageous. And Congress needs to take action on this, and they can censor him, do a censure. That's what they should do, a censure of his statements. I'd love to see some of the leadership come out and say what this is wrong, it's ridiculous, it's outrageous. But instead, they're kind of doubling down. Let's talk about it. We'll take your phone calls in just a moment.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. How would you feel if your congressman did this? If you had a Democrat congressman put out a list and your name was on it at a time when we feel like, you know, this political rhetoric is becoming so divisive, and it certainly feels like this congressman is telling people, go and harass these individuals at a minimum. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. Remember our matching challenge at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So here's what's happening. The rules are being turned upside down. Used to be in this country in our founding, we had anonymous pamphleteering. We had individuals that would write the Federalist Papers but use pseudonyms or anonymous. And that was part of free speech because of concerns about retaliation and retribution. The NAACP was once sued for their membership list. They wanted them to disclose the government. In Alabama, wanted them to disclose their membership list. They refused to do so. It went to the Supreme Court in the United States, and the Supreme Court said, you do not have to disclose your membership list for exactly this reason, fear of retribution. But the reality is, I'm going to read what Steve Scalise said. He knows about this firsthand. Here's what he said. People should not be personally targeted for their political views, period. This isn't a game. It's dangerous, and lives are at stake. I know this firsthand. That's from Steve Scalise, who, of course, there was an attempted assassination against him, but I believe a supporter of Bernie Sanders. So this goes both sides of the political, and I take the politics out of this. Somebody takes a weapon and utilizes it against another human being. You know what it's called? Killing or attempted murder, or murder if they succeed in situations like this. That's what it is. It's a crime. Let's not kid ourselves. But Congressman Castro did here is outrageous. And I want to set up for you this scenario that I think is the most important. And that is to understand exactly what happened. And Willie Geist on NBC Today interviewed Congressman Castro. There's two different ones here I'm going to play. I'm going to play the first one. We'll give you some commentary. Then we're going to play the second one. Take a close listen.
But Congressman, as you look at this list, I know you said you didn't put their addresses out there. It's easy to find them. These people undoubtedly are already being harassed online or perhaps face-to-face in some cases. They could be. What do you say to those people this morning who said, I made a campaign donation and now I'm going to be harassed? I'm going to have people protesting outside my business or perhaps even my home. What do you say to them? Do you want them to repent for their support for Donald Trump, or what do you want from them?
Well, the first thing is that I don't want anybody harassed or targeted.
But they will be because you put their names in public.
Look, that was not my intention.
But that's what will
happen. These things are public. No, what I would like for them to do is think twice about supporting a guy who is fueling hate in this country.
Okay, what I'd like you to do is think twice before you put out a target list. Now, he was pressed further by Willie Geist again. Take a listen.
If you agree that rhetoric can lead to incitement, even if it just triggers one person to do something terrible, does it give you any pause about putting these people's names out in public?
Well, Willie, they're already public. They're already out there.
There are 11 retirees and one homemaker who are not public.
Right. And this was already circulating. I shared it, so I didn't create the graphic. No, I think, if anything, I think what I am concerned about is the distraction from the fact that people are grieving in El Paso, that these folks just got killed, and there are funerals that are being planned right now. And the world and the country should be focused on that. I don't want anybody on the left or the right to be a target of any crazy person, of any person who means them harm at all.
Well, then don't put out a target list. That may be the way to start. You thought this was, you know, cute, or you were somehow going to encourage people not to support President Trump or whatever it was going to be, so you put out a target list? Maggie Haberman from the New York Times said this: don't want to retweet this because I don't want to put these people's names in my feed, but this is dangerous by any campaign. And he did this through his campaign account. So this congressman took up the rhetoric another step by putting forward a target list, a hit list, if you will, and identified individuals because of their support under the Constitution, which they have the right to do, supporting a particular candidate. And this is what they end up doing.
I think within the time period that this was utilized, I said on the broadcast yesterday, so this, we had these mass shootings, including one in his own state on Saturday, the largest one. Was in El Paso. He's a representative for San Antonio. He puts out a kill list. Now, he didn't do a lot of research on this. And this is when I think, you know, the politics of you try to blame the president.
He said he didn't create the graphic as if that was the answer.
But he didn't even look at who he was putting out to the extent past the barbecue owner and the realtor, who must be pretty well known in the area. The barbecue owner is a little, it's not really telling everybody the truth. We looked him up too, just to see why he got named. Yeah. He owns 73 restaurants in the area. So this is a big business that he operates. So that's a lot of potential targets, putting a lot of employees in danger as well. But what Castro didn't look at was that six of his own max donors were on the list. So these were just big political donors in the San Antonio area that likely gave to both sides of the aisle because of their businesses. So they gave... they were max donors to both him and Donald Trump. So to say that they are somehow one, even fully endorsing President Trump is wrong, because they wouldn't be giving money to both sides. But two, he is putting people's lives in danger at this day and time, especially within 24 hours of that event. It was like you went after, you know, our people got, you know, hurt because of the immigration issue, so I'm going to put out Donald Trump's people. Maybe some of them will. I mean, that's how it feels. That's how it reads. It's dangerous. It's scary. And it's unfortunately the world that we live in right now.
It's the rules are turned upside down. That's what it is.
You don't need to have congressmen telling you to think twice about who you support for president. It's up to you to think about, not some.
Well, he needs to think twice before he starts sending stuff out without checking. But I don't buy that either. This was an intentional thing. Yes. He said, I didn't create the meme. No, I just retweeted it. How many followers does he have on Facebook, by the way? While we're looking that up, let's go ahead and take a call on line three.
Don't forget, his brother's also running for president of the United States. Twin brother, who's also the mayor of the city. So these are pretty influential guys in their hometown and nationally as well. Let's go to the phones. Carol in New York on line three. Carol, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, I support you in every way.
Thanks.
I'm very confused, though, and I'm so glad I can ask this question of you, because I was under the impression that when you say something, especially to the president, I mean, let alone all this, but you say something right out loud about killing or striking or what, that used to land people in jail.
Well, he didn't say that. Let me read exactly what he said. He said, sad to see so many San Antonians as 2019 maximum donors to Donald Trump. Then he listed a couple of the people. Their contributions are fueling a campaign of hate that labels Hispanic immigrants as invaders. That's what the tweet actually said. So the question is it protected under the First Amendment? Probably it is. I mean, where the First Amendment issue comes into play is two parts here. One, you can't yell fire in a movie theater, even though that's speech, it's not protected. Now, does that reach that level? That'd be for a court to decide, not an easy case to try to squelch it under free speech. But there was a reason we had, and now that's all changed under the federal election laws, and it's all changed under the disclosure laws, and that's done in light of transparency of who's getting involved in what campaign. But it used to be that you didn't disclose that stuff because of stuff like this. That's why the NAACP aggressively fought to maintain control of their membership list, and they were right to do it. But you have to understand what you've got here. I mean, this is an outrage from this congressman. He should be dealt with, and I think the way you deal with it is an act of Congress that would be basically a censure. Do I think that's going to happen? I do not. Has any Democratic leader spoke out on this, Will? Nothing from leadership. I wonder if any other Democratic congressman. What about the famous four? What are they? The squad. Anything from them? Yeah, let's check, see what they have to say on that. Probably nothing. But the fact of the matter is, I think that this presents a serious problem for our country, that it's reached, the politics are reaching this level. Just go out and campaign and win on issues and ideas. And if you don't like your political opponent, that's fine. But you don't have to call out their donors.
No, absolutely not. And you know, to say, well, this information is public, yeah, you can go to places like Open Secrets and start pulling it. But you have to do a lot of work, actually, to put together this list. Of 44. Someone did that. He said his campaign did not, and he didn't do it.
He just retweeted it.
He just sent it out as a member of Congress who represents these individuals. That's what it makes it even worse, is that not only is he a political actor in the sense that he's an outspoken partisan Democrat, he is literally the representative for these people that he has put out there and now put, I think, their lives in danger. And certainly... they're already being harassed. They've said that.
It's already happening.
We've played that
does.
For people during the break. Businesses being harassed, friendships being lost. And again, it's not like these people, I think they were under any kind of illusion that right now you put in all this information, it is available if someone wants to go to the trouble of looking it up. But that is, and it's not that hard to do if you want to put in someone's name.
But somebody did this intentionally to get it out,
yes,
to target it.
Yes, this was a kill list. This was a kill list that the congressman retweeted and then had to spin as something other than a kill list.
Well, he's getting hit hard. I mean, you've got NBC hitting you pretty hard.
I'd say he should resign. I mean, the truth is, people, if he's that stupid, he should resign. Because a day after a mass shooting, he put out a list of people on the other side of the aisle in his own district. Just quit. Just, you know, quit. Quit now. Save face. Say I did something really wrong.
Well,
to my constituents.
Ellie on... Facebook says, I think it's time for Castro to step down. He's put Americans in danger. Deborah on Facebook said, it seems Castro was using a Soviet tactic to get people to live in fear.
Yeah.
You know what it was? Ridiculous, repulsive, dangerous, uncalled for. But where's the leadership on this one? We'll see. All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign.
That's right, ACLJ.org. This month of August, very important to the work of the ACLJ, all of the legal work that we do, the policy work that we do, the government affairs work that we do, the work we do around the world, like supporting Israel. You go to ACLJ.org. Whatever you donate, we have a group of donors ready to match your donation. So you double the impact of your gift at ACLJ.org. Do it today.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Sad to see so many San Antonians as 2019 maximum donors to Donald Trump. Many, I'm not going to call their names out anymore either. I don't think we should. I think Maggie Haberman from the New York Times is right. Their contributions are fueling campaign of hate that labels Hispanic immigrants invaders. And he listed all these donors. And some of them are retirees, homemakers. So your political adversaries, you now create a list, basically a hit list, to shame them. I mean, I guess that's what the purpose of what this is. He said, I don't want anybody to get hurt. Well, then don't do something so stupid as put out a list of people you disagree with and call on them as if to shame them out. Which, Harry, I mean, we you and I talked about this before we went on air. The fact of the matter is, in our founding, you know, we had this idea, we had Anonymous in the Federalist Papers, you know, or pseudonyms and others pamphleteering because of things just like this.
Precisely. And I think this misconduct by Joaquin Castro provides a good basis for returning to that particular period of time, making donations anonymously. And it's also clear that Representative Castro does not understand the seriousness of what he has done. We live in particularly abrasive, toxic times, and language and conduct by congressmen matter. And basically what Castro is doing, given the fact that we've had two mass shootings recently, he is adding gasoline to a live fire.
What do you think, you know, Wes, as you're now reflecting on it, what's your thoughts?
You know, doxing, which is what this is about, you know, is anytime you publish on the internet private or personally identifying information, you know, on someone, typically with malicious intent. It's something that hackers and online vigilantes do routinely, Jay. It is unheard of for a member of the United States Congress to do this. And not only that, he's endangering the safety of the people in his own district. The people that he represents.
I mean, including people that were his supporters.
Yes, it's a blatant attempt to intimidate these people and to negatively impact the political process. You know, in America, we're supposed to have freedom of association and the right to take part in the political process. He is actually trying to squelch that this, as a member of Congress.
You know, the election laws on disclosure, donor disclosure, was the idea of transparency. A lot of this came in the post-Watergate era, and some of it was even before. And it was this idea of disclosure. But this is the problem. I'm not saying we shouldn't have disclosures, but there was a reason for Anonymous. There was a reason for free speech to be protected that way. Here is what one of the people, I'm just going to use his first name, Mark, who was called out by Congressman Castro. Here's what he said on Fox.
What he did was he wasn't just publishing a list of donors. He was hoping that they would be discombobulated or harassed or whatever, et cetera. And I just think we all have a right. We have in America right to free speech. And I and a lot of people that support the President Trump aren't going to be called. We're not going to be called racist and the other slurs without fighting back.
I think that's exactly correct. But here's the problem. And so far, Castro Jordan has not backed down, Congressman Castro.
No, he has not backed down. He's not apologized for this. He hasn't even said, you know, I should have thought about this before sending it out. It may have just been the wrong timing, because it was 24 hours within a mass shooting in his home state, the state where he is a congressman, and at a time when there's blaming rhetoric on one side for causing it, he's then saying, see, these are the people funding the rhetoric that caused what just happened. I mean, that's what he's implying.
Yeah, it's interesting because six of these people also supported him, which means in America, guess what? You could vote for a Republican for one office and a Democrat for another, and guess what you get to do? You get to do that in the United States. But I guess Congressman Castro doesn't want that.
No,
he didn't. Did he apologize to his own donors and constituents? No, yeah. He's not.
No, he'd say, I'm sure at this point he'd say, I'd rather not have those people supporting my campaign because of this. But this is, again, it gets to the heart of these are mostly people speaking out are, you know, the business people.
But there's homemakers on there.
Yeah.
Retirees.
But the business people are speaking out. It's not unusual for them to give to the sitting congressman because their business is based in the district and maybe have a different political belief, you know, nationally who they support for president. They may also support his opponents in campaigns. Another three of these donors were also donors to his brother's mayoral campaigns. I mean, so people are very different. They vote different locally than they do nationally. We know that.
Right.
I mean, everyone knows that. You could easily still vote for a Democrat mayor and that you know really well as a friend of yours or somebody that you know in your community who may be pretty moderate compared to the national party but is still a Democrat and donate money to Donald Trump. That's not that weird.
I know that, but it happens all the time. I want to know your reaction to our listening audience. What do you think should be the repercussions for the congressman? Should he be, as Phil on Facebook said, I agree he should resign if he doesn't, censured by Congress. What do you think? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I just want to know, what do you think should be the repercussions, the ramifications for Congressman Castro's conduct, which is conduct that, Harry, in a very real way, whether he designed it or not, the meme, put people in harm's way?
Absolutely. So Joaquin Castro was trying to intimidate his own voters, voters in his own district. Why? In order to demonstrate his moral superiority to the common people. His conduct suggests that he was hoping that voters in his own district would be targeted and harassed, and apparently some have already been targeted and harassed. So he is prepared to, in some sense, attack or out his own voters in order to advance the political campaign of his brother, who so far has a failing presidential effort in the Democratic primary election campaign.
Well, let's go ahead and take another call.
Anthony's calling from Texas on line 5. Anthony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Anthony.
Hello. Thank you so much. I'm from San Antonio. I was born and raised here in San Antonio, and I'm really disgusted with what Castro did. I mean, here are the Democrats saying same thing that they're accusing the president of. They're putting out these lists because people don't agree with their policies or with their agenda. And I really would like to see Castro be prosecuted within the law, because this is wrong. People have a right to choose whom they wish to support.
All right, here's the problem, Anthony. I agree with a lot of what you said, but there's not a prosecution here. I mean, this is not a violation of the law. I mean, I guess inciting, you could argue an inciting an assault or inciting a battery, but it'd be very hard to prove under First Amendment jurisprudence. I mean, just not realistic. But that doesn't mean Congress can't act. And that's what I think, Wes, here. Congress, I want to see, and have you found anything, Will? All right, just ask our producer. Nothing. Nobody, no other Democrat member of Congress has responded that we know of. Not that we've seen yet.
Yeah, strange silence on the left and from the Democrat Party. The Democrats are always protesting language and tweets that incite, you know, violence or retribution, and yet that is exactly what Castro did. On one of his interviews, you know, trying to defend his actions, he said this was not a call to action. Yes, it was.
Of course.
It was a call to action.
But look, they're turning the rules upside down here. I mean, look, we're in California because the state of California passes a law that says, oh, the president can't, you know, unless he gives us his tax returns, he can't be on the ballot. Really? Well, that's not what the Constitution says. And then you got, what, Jerry Nadler trying to get the White House counsel to appear before Congress? It's called privilege. Like, that doesn't exist in the Constitution. That's part of how we operate. That's who we are. They're turning the rules upside down. So here now you don't have anonymous pamphleteering anymore, so you get people that can put up hit lists. Could you imagine if this was a conservative that did this, what the reaction would be? I mean, I can't even imagine. All right, we'll take your calls. We're here for another 30 minutes. Don't forget, ACLJ.org, Facebook and Periscope, but also the Matching Challenge campaign.
Yeah, donate. Your donation is doubled. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow. Congressman Castro intentionally endangers President Trump's support.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so Congressman Castro, this is what he did. He sends out, sad to see so many San Antonians as 2019 maximum donors to Donald Trump. I'm not going to say the name. Their campaign contributions are fueling a campaign of hate. So he does this, and he labels people, including retirees, homemakers, who now created, Jordan, you call it a hit list.
Yes, I went so far as to say a kill list in light of the timing that this was sent.
Let's set all that up for everybody.
We had the mass shooting in El Paso Saturday, and then very early hours of Sunday morning at the bar in Dayton, a mass shooting there. And then a congressman from Texas tweets out this list of Trump donors the next day, Monday. Monday evening, he sends this list out. So, I mean, within this 24-hour span where the nation's in mourning, where we pull back rhetoric, we pull back politics, that didn't last long for Democrats. So Joaquin Castro puts out a list of Trump donors that he represents. These are his constituents. And by the way, that's and you know, it has their employer information, so the employer can get harassed as well.
Right?
And so businesses can get harassed. The people who work there can be put in danger as well, not just the individual's name. And, of course, it's very easy to take this information. You know they're in the San Antonio area in his district to get their home address.
Right.
Very simple. And so he has exposed these individuals at a time of heightened scrutiny to political speech.
Yep.
And he goes right over the top. In what I mean, you compare to anything Donald Trump's ever said, this is the worst.
Well, let's play
putting people's lives at risk by individually putting them at risk. They're not public officials. They are not decided to enter the political realm. Didn't decide to do TV interviews and go campaign for office. And he's going after private citizens.
Private citizens exercising their First Amendment right to support candidates of their choice, including him. But let me tell you listen to how Congressman Castro tries to spin this. Listen.
And so what I hope is that this has started a conversation about what exactly Donald Trump is doing with these people's money. And I hope that these donors in San Antonio and donors throughout the country, unless you support the white nationalism and the racism that Donald Trump is paying for and fueling, then I hope that you, as a person of good conscience, will think twice about contributing to his campaign.
I think you, as a person of good conscience, wouldn't be preparing hit lists, Harry.
Well, Democrats routinely claim that language matters. Unless it's a fellow Democrat who misuses words to intimidate, to harass, and to target. And that is precisely what Castro has done. He continues to assert his moral superiority, and he does it in a way that inflame people's tensions and can lead, as Jordan, I think, correctly points out, to violence. And so Castro is trying to inflame an already inflammatory situation. And guess what? Nancy Pelosi remains silent. All of the other leaders of the Democratic Party remain silent. They are frequently too willing to go to the cameras, to go to a microphone and condemn the conduct of Republicans, but they fail to condemn the conduct within their own midst. And this is a huge problem in the United
That's
States.
Because not only is it a double standard, as you said, it's almost, they try to do it like benign neglect. It's like, oh, well, he said it, we're not going to say anything, hoping it goes away. The problem is this stuff doesn't go away because he's now created a furor, and he could just say, you know what, I was wrong, this was bad. Please do not take action against these people that should not have been named in my list. I should not have done that. They will never say that, Wes. They're never going to say we did this wrong.
No, they're incapable of saying it, Jay, and the duplicity, the hypocrisy is astounding. Words matter and actions matter. What he did was incendiary. And he did exactly what often the left accused the president of doing, and that is inciting harassment and threats, you know, by virtue of tweet. He knew exactly what he was doing, but he is too proud to back off and back down.
So he should ask his brother. He's running for president of the United States. Do you condone what your brother did? Be an interesting question.
Chairs his brother's campaign.
Chairs his campaign.
Yes. Yep.
We need to hear from you. We want to know your reaction to all this. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge Campaign, aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
His brother, Congressman Castro's brother, who's running for president, said this: Joaquin and I will keep fighting. The American people will fight every day for our nation against your hate, your corruption, and your ego, and we'll win. Adios Trump is his hashtag. That's also kind of, you know what, in this point, even that.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Could you imagine if a conservative did this? So Howard Kurtz from Fox News, this is what he had to say, number 10.
I don't buy the Dodge as public information. It takes a long time to look up how many donors live in San Antonio, and nor do I accept the fact that he just deleted the tweet. This was not only dangerous for Joaquin Castro to do, but then he committed the really dumb move of doubling down on his mistake, as we saw in that show, and the whole thing was designed to get him his face on television, I think. And the idea that he would play dumb, that he's putting a target on these people's backs and essentially accusing them of being complicit in racism and white supremacy simply for the utterly legal act of donating to a presidential candidate they support, I think nobody is going to buy. And I think it really is shameful what he did.
You know, so I think it's shameful too, but also, Harry, I think it's dangerous.
Absolutely. And so one of the things that's so interesting about this whole misconduct by Castro is he is doing precisely the thing that he accused others of doing. So he essentially engages in hateful misconduct against voters in his own district, some of whom have contributed funds to his own campaign. And so I agree with Howard Kurtz. Essentially, Castro has engaged not only in misconduct, but he's also demonstrated his unintelligence with respect to the voters in his own district. Doesn't he care about the people that he claims to represent?
Well, some of these are his own daughters.
Is it more important for him to engage in virtue signaling to the rest of the American people, even if that means throwing some of his own voters under the bus? Apparently, we know the answer to that question.
He did. I mean, some of these people don't, as Jordan Absolutely. Said, there are plenty of people donate to, you know, Republican presidential candidate, but for the local race, they support the Democrat, or vice versa. They vote for the Democrat for presidential, but on the local race, they want the governor or the mayor to be a Democrat who they like because of the policies they applied locally. Because the politics are different on a national and local level.
They've gone so far, people trying to defend him and saying, well, this is just like what they put when Republicans talk about George Soros. No, it's not. He's a billionaire financier. He's a public figure. He is a well-known public figure who puts his name behind institutes, buildings, businesses. He's out there. He's William. It's like Warren Buffett. It's the same kind of thing. These are big names. So if they fund things, they have an ideology, and they've decided to do that. If you're Jeff Bezos, you know you're a public figure. You can't compare the homemaker. I'm not going to read her name, or the retirees, or the self-employed guy on this list to George Soros. Okay, I mean, come on, that's not fair. George Soros has security with guns. By the way, you know, he has armed guards at probably everywhere he goes and places he's not even at while that are his, and every business he invests in. And so that is not fair. These individuals don't have armed guards. They don't have security details. So to compare this to others, it's absurd. And even to compare it to the president's rhetoric is absurd as well. The president is talking about things like border security and illegal immigration. This is naming it specific people and saying these are the bad people in your area, go after them.
Let's go ahead and take phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. What do you think should be the repercussions for the congressman here?
Dale's calling in from Texas on line 3. Dale, welcome to JSecuo Live.
Hi, Dale.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I appreciate you guys. I've been a member for quite a while.
Great.
But wanted to throw this in there. I think that he should be censured if he doesn't step down. Well, Maxine Waters wasn't specific, but this is even a step farther. But I would think he should have a civil liability if something would happen to any of these donors, and possibly even a criminal liability, the same as somebody inciting a riot and causing loss of life or something.
Well, here's Congresswoman Tlaib had to say. Chairman Castro, they don't like it when you name their donors. The public needs to know who funds racism. That's the squad's response, Wes.
Yeah, and in his tweet, he actually compared the people that support President Trump, that you must be somehow implicitly supporting racism or white nationalism. What this is an attempt to do, Jay, is to stifle political discourse.
Yes,
and
absolutely,
so in this toxic environment that we live in today, you can't simply disagree with someone. If you disagree with me, I will vilify you. I will put broad brush labels on you rather than engage in a debate about the ideas and the policies.
I'm telling you, as someone that's argued over a dozen cases at the Supreme Court, most involving the First Amendment's free speech clause, I know why they had anonymous pamphleteering. I know why they used pseudonyms. I understand from history. And that, unfortunately, because of the way that we got the campaign finance law, that's no longer the way it's done. But this shows you how dangerous this can be, that you can't support a candidate without the risk of being put on a hit list.
All of our other donations to anything else are anonymous.
If somebody asks for the ACLJ's membership list, the answer is no.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The IRS does have these requirements on major donors that you listed. I think it's unconstitutional, by the way.
Yeah, it is, again, let's go to Bill. We got more calls on this. I think that people are starting to, I think that, like we've thought about rethinking FOIA, rethinking FISA, rethinking the surveillance state, maybe we need to rethink the laws on this too, because of the access that some nut put together this list and took the time to do it, and a congressman sent it out.
Yep.
And an elected official. Let's go to, so maybe we need to rethink.
I think so.
I mean, what's wrong with anonymous political donations? We allow it for.
Well, they've got, here's what their answer is. We got the maximum cap of what you can give is whatever it is, 28.
The government would know. I mean, because you have to write the check. So the government can still keep track if you're violating you personally are violating the laws, the campaign's violating the rules. But why does everybody need to be able to see this information? And again, I think there's big questions about that. Bill's called in from Wyoming on line 4. Bill, welcome to JSecuo Live.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a two-part comment that I'd like for you to respond to, if you don't mind. From what I've been hearing is the fact that the Constitution gives us the freedom of speech, correct. But there's also implied as a fact that we have the responsibility for what we say, not only to others, but any which way. Also, like I was in the military, I was cautionist what I was supposed to say.
Right.
Because of the fact that if I say anything wrong, that is the fact I'm speaking for the military. And likewise, these people up there in Washington, D.C., when they speak, they're essentially saying very much so what the government is saying. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, they're going to say that Congressman Castro's defenders are going to say he's entitled to do this under the First Amendment, that this isn't the same as yelling fire in a movie theater. But Rick Leventhal pointed out a good point here, and this is from Fox News. Take a listen. This is number 12.
And it gets worse. Some people on the list didn't just donate to Trump. They also donated to Congressman Joaquin Castro. So Castro actually targeted and outed his own supporters. Senator Ted Cruz from Castro's home state said, quote, elected representatives should not be vilifying and doxing their own constituents.
So there you have it. I mean, you can't get any clearer than that, including his own constituents, but it shows you the danger of it. Here's my concern. We are setting up now a process where if you support a particular organization or campaign, you can be subjected to this if that list is public, which goes to Jordan's point, then maybe that list should not be public. Maybe if the FEC has to maintain it like a tax return to the IRS, they can't release it to the public at large. They can monitor it for the purposes of campaign limits, but they cannot keep it or distribute it because you've got congressmen like Congressman Castro who are so sloppy and so dangerous that they're willing to do this. That's what concerns me, Wes, in all of this, is the lack of not only sophistication, the lack of concern of what this could react and do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, these people, I'm sure many, if not most of them, are probably already being harassed. They have Facebook friends, you know, unfriending them, people protesting at their businesses and what have you. What he did, the bottom line here, Jay, is that he targeted people in his own district and set them up for harassment and possible physical danger. There's no way around that in spite of his protest.
All right, we're going to take some more calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you this before we do, though. A series of lawsuits were filed in California. I know, Jordan, you covered this yesterday, but I wanted someone that's kind of supervising all this. I want to give you my impression. This is where the laws are becoming upside down. Constitution sets forth the requirements to run for president of the United States, 35 years old, citizen of the United States, resident for 14 years. That's the way it works. That's the constitutional requirement. That's the qualification clause of the Constitution. The state of California, because they want to target Donald Trump and keep him off the ballot, says, no, you have to release your tax returns. Except that's not what the Constitution says. So how in the world do you turn it upside down? But that's what's happening here. It's no different than the Don McGahn situation, the former White House counsel, now being subpoenaed or civil action of contempt to have him testify before the Judiciary Committee. He's the White House counsel. There's privilege that's involved, both executive and attorney-client. There's a whole list of privileges that apply in this kind of situation. Yet the laws are, you know, fortunately, I think courts are going to back us up every time. They have so far. But this shows you how extreme this is going. And then you got Congressman Castro deciding to create his own hit list of citizens, some of which supported him, but they all had a commonality in that they supported President Trump. So he puts a list out. Dangerous, stupid, ridiculous. What are the consequences? We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, last segment. We take your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Ron calling from Maryland on line one. Ron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you very much. And first, I'd like to say I do enjoy listening to your show daily. My question, though, is I'm not sure exactly, I know Castro should be punished, but I'm not sure exactly what is entailed from Congress censoring him.
So it's a censure. I mean, it's a slap on the wrist is basically what it is. It's Congress coming out and saying, we disapprove of the action you've taken.
It's a step above that. So there's a reprimand, which is below a censure.
Right.
There's the censure, and then there's the constitutional expulsion.
Yeah, they're
so
not going to
you know,
yeah,
so
that
be,
ain't happening.
You can actually, members of Congress can expel a member of Congress. The last censure, though, was pretty serious. It was Charlie Rangel.
Right.
It's serious vote. It's like you go through like a committee,
yep.
A censure committee. So it's very damaging to it doesn't throw you out of office. It's very damaging to the politician.
But it's not going to happen here. I will promise you.
Nancy Pelosi did it to Charlie Rangel. That was the last one. And now he was in trouble with tax evasion. But there was still, and it was a wide bipartisan support back then.
Yeah.
So the last time it was used until then was Barney Frank, actually, for having a relationship with a congressional page.
Yeah. What do you think, Wes, is the likely outcome here? We need to get, at least we are discussing it. I think that's important.
I'm disturbed by the silence on the Democrat Party, that they are not calling him out for this. You know, Jay, there are so many crazies out there, as we know. And what Castro has exhibited is a lack of decency, first of all, but also a lack of situational awareness. Think about this. On Monday, when he tweeted this, the United States was still grieving over a mass shooting and wrestling with all of that. And what he... He really runs the risk of some other crazy person out there, seeing what he tweeted and taking action against 44 innocent people.
No, it's a real risk. I mean, this is in the times we live in. You can't. It's like if you engage in free speech or supporting a candidate, which is a form of speech, by the way, you end up with this kind of problem. Let's go right again. We're taking your calls 800-684-3110.
Diana's calling from Washington State on line three. Diana, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Diana.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
It seems that Democrats constantly rail about isms, like racism in particular, and yet they won't censure Omar for
anti-Semitism. Right.
I doubt that they'll censure Castro. So I'd just like to know how Castro could possibly feel that his words were in any way healing to his constituents.
I don't think, I'm going to get Harry's view on this. I don't think he cares. I think he made a political decision, or his staff did, to get this out. He's going to double down on this and start the shaming campaign, thinking the opposite, not that it wouldn't cause harm, because anybody was thinking would know it'd be harm, but this would start some kind of national movement of calling Trump supporters out. That's what I think he thought was going to happen here, and that backfired on him.
I think that is correct. So speech, including awful speech by Castro, is constitutionally protected speech. But the Democrats, I believe, are engaged in a transparent effort to intimidate and call individuals out, and they essentially are now calling virtually everyone who disagrees with them a racist, or alternatively, a morally inferior person. And the question becomes, what gives the Democrats the right to stand on a pedestal of moral superiority? In reality, of course, many Democrats ignore the fact that they continue to support policies that have their origins in racism, such as eugenics or labor legislation that makes it difficult to employ African-American workers. And the Democrats conveniently like to forget their association with Democratic Governor Northam in Virginia, who has either arguably appeared in blackface or in a KKK uniform. And yet he remains the governor of Virginia.
Right.
And so where is Joaquin Castro's outrage with respect to Governor Northam? It's non-existent.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I really believe, during it, you've been involved in a lot of campaigns. I believe that when Castro did this, Harry, and I want you to comment on this, but here's talking what you said, you know, that they ignore the obvious, and then he actually thought, Castro's team, I could see this, thought that they're going to start some kind of national campaign.
Yes.
Of outing Republican conservatives.
Yes, which, again, backfired, to say the least, after this shooting. This was talking about the wrong time of it. This was like Joe Biden's speech, which has gotten washed away, too. It was, you know, calling the president a racist in a basically all-white crowd in Iowa. It's kind of funny to say that. I think it was in Northwest Iowa. Basically an entirely white audience, and he's up there talking about how racist the president is. Meanwhile, the president is
This was the guy that was saying how he worked so closely with segregationists.
So yeah. This is while the president is in the ridiculous. Air between. So I think, again, what we see is, let's take the call coming in. Let's take Gail's call from California on line 4. Gail, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Gail.
Thank you for taking my call. I was kind of just wondering, since there are so many Trump supporters out there who like to stay anonymous.
Yeah, most people want to stay anonymous.
Do you think that Castro is trying to affect the donations?
100%. Here's what he was trying to do. I really believe he was trying, Wes, to start a national campaign, that this was going to be successful, and they'd start employing this strategy everywhere. In your town of Decatur, Georgia, there's these 10 supporters of the president you need to know.
Yeah, and I think it was a miscalculation on his part, but he's not backing down.
Nope.
The Democrats need to clean up their own house. You know, if they have political and personal integrity, right is right and wrong is wrong. What he did was wrong. And I'm still waiting on the other Democrat candidates for president and the leadership in Washington to actually take a stand for what is right and what is right for the American people.
But I still think that what they're doing here is Castro thought he was going to start some kind of national campaign.
Yes. And let me just say, it started within these last 24 hours with more prominent people, like the owner of SoulCycle and Equinox Gym. And then, he's hosting a fundraiser for Trump, and so they, you know, all these celebrities started in because a very popular gym in big cities, and SoulCycle is very popular in big cities as well. And again, they go after him and his, of course, who gets hurt the most, employers and the employees. I think it's also the owner of the Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, got his team going after. But these guys can handle it, right?
Right.
It's the retired individual that I think is where they're
the
trying
homemaker.
But let me tell you what will happen. Let me tell you what the result is of these kind of attempts by campaigns. Donald Trump's overwhelming victory, if this is a path they continue down. Because more and more people say, you know what, let's make sure there's not 44 people. Let's make sure there's 4,000 people on that list. So it's not so easy to target. And that's how people could potentially respond if this is a strategy that they continue to employ. I mean, you see that this
is...
This is happening.
Yeah, this is going to be business boycotting. Donna Brazile, do we have time to play this? Can we do it? No? Yeah, this is what she said on Fox.
And so I'm reading a story, and all of a sudden, I read the names of all of the Donald Trump donors. Now, did I run the social media and say, hey, X, I'm not going to use your shipyard, or hey, well, I'm not coming to your grocery store? No. This is a tactic that people are using in this quote-unquote polarized environment to sort of call people out. I think it's the wrong way to do it, but that's what's happening.
She's 100% correct. Yeah. That's exactly what is happening here. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. Obviously, very troubling development.
Keep calling people deplorables and see what happens to your campaign.
Yeah, see if that works out well for you. Hey, don't forget the ACLJ's Matching Challenge campaign. We're about 8-9 days in. Your support makes a huge difference at ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. So we encourage you to do that. Any amount is tax deductible as well. ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.